Psalms chapter number 11, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. It says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" Heavenly Father, we ask you once again to help us this morning as we look to your word. Father, that you just touch us, open up our hearts, our minds, that we might hear and see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to just for a few minutes this morning look here at this psalm and just speak to us on this thought. I will trust him. I will trust him. David here in this psalm, and we don't know the exact circumstances surrounding what's going on and what took place right here at this particular time with certainty, but David in his younger life, we know that he had a relationship with Saul. From Saul's end was not good. I mean, Saul was trying to pin him to the wall with that big old javelin spear that he had, and he spent time on the run and going and trying for his safety. But here in this particular case, he says, "In the Lord put I my trust." A good place for us to take refuge is in God. I mean, the best place for us to take refuge is in God. And David said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust him. I mean, I'm going to trust him. Now, we see from these verses that David, it seems, had some advisors. And his advisors told him, flee as a bird to your mountain. Flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Flee. I mean, David asked him though, he said, how say you to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? Flee to your mountain. And they were given warning. They told him that everything's against you. The bow's bent, it's pulled back, and you need to flee. There's no need to stick around. Well, now, when we read Scripture and we see things, there are times and instances in the New Testament after the day of Pentecost, there was a time when the apostles, the disciples, because of persecution, they began to move and to, we could say, to flee into other parts and other places. And everywhere they went, they preached the gospel and they spread the gospel. So there is times when we need to try to, you know, step out of harm's way. But amen, in this particular instance that David was dealing with, he knew that it was not right and it was not proper for him to flee. If he did, amen, it may have put some kind of black mark upon his character and upon his position, upon his responsibility that he had at the time if he just up and fled. So what he said, I'm going to do is I'm going to trust God. I'm just going to trust him. You say, flee as a bird to your mountain, because the archer has pulled back the bow and everything is ready and it looks like nothing but destruction. I mean, Saul's not trying to do what's right. I mean, he wants you dead. And if he wants you dead, you just need to go, because what's going to happen if you stick around here? It ain't going to be good. David, he said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust him. Now, we live sometimes and we live in a world, we look about us and we see all the things and all the changes that's taking place in our world. And I saw just a little snippet the other day about the judge, I think, up in Alabama, that told a little bit about his life since he refused to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, I believe it was, and they wound up disbarring him, removing him from office and all this kind of stuff. And I say that to say this, we see what kind of world we live in, and amen, and much of it is not good. I mean, well, there's a lot of evil. There's a lot of wicked folks that are in charge that set their bow and their arrow against God and the things of God. And amen, this was the case here in David's circumstance, but he said, I'm not going to run. I'm not going to flee. I'm not going to flee from my responsibility. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust Him. I know they're making ready their bows. They sat there in private and they're looking to destroy and to kill, but he said, I'm going to trust God. Verse 3 there tells us this. It said, if foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Can I tell you today what's going on in this world, what they're trying to do? They're trying to destroy all of the foundations of the righteous. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What is the foundation? I mean, the foundation of the country that we live in, that we grew up in. What's the foundation? The foundation is the very Word of God. What thus saith the Lord. That's what we were founded on. And yet we see at every turn in our world trying to take and change the Word of God and to make it of none effect. And they said to David here, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What are you going to do, David? The whole system is set against you. What you going to do? You ever feel like in this old world that, the whole system of this old world and, and the way that it thinks and what it tries to do is set against you, set against God, set against His people. And that's what they were telling David here. They're trying to move it all. Redefine this and redefine this and change this and make this. But see, the Bible speaks that some things may happen that take us by surprise, but God's never been surprised about anything. Me and Pam, I go to the auction on Thursday nights over at Gracefield, and we were sitting there a night, and a fella that was down at the other table, him and his wife that down there, they're getting ready to sell, and she had walked out to the car, and she was coming back, and there was some stuff stacked up on the table, and he spotted her coming back, but he lost sight of her, and he was standing up on his tiptoes like this, trying to see where she was at. And what he didn't know is she had already come around the end of the table, and while he's trying to look over the top of the thing here to see where she is and figure out where she is, she's already standing right there back of his ear, and she said, boo! He lied and left because he got surprised. Amen. Sometimes old devil sneaks up on us like that and he says, boo, and makes us want to leave, makes us want to just want to go. And see, if the foundations get destroyed and things get shaken up, amen. And that's what they told David. They said, if all the foundation, Dave, what you going to do? They're calling evil good. And they're calling good evil. And they think that that's all right and it's good. And they think just because they call it that, that that's the way it is. Amen. It don't work. That's not the way common sense even tell you that. It don't work that way. But see, we live in a country and a place where it seems like common sense died. Amen. I miss the funeral, but amen, it's gone. It seems like it's gone. And this is what they're telling David. All the foundations have been removed. David, it's time for you just to flee. But David said, I'm not going to flee. Amen. He said, in the Lord put I my trust. You see, here's what one thing David did know. David knew that God's word, it was already settled. It wasn't settled in the hearts of men and women, but he knew it was already settled in heaven. And this morning, it's already settled in heaven. And so they can move the foundations, and the things of this world can shake and they can quake, and men can try to destroy the things of God. But the Bible tells us, it tells me and you, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. It shall not. And so what can we do? What can we do? David said, I'm going to just trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to put my trust in Him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, I'm going to trust Him. The king said, we're going to put you in the fiery furnace. They said, I'm going to trust Him. King, God is able to deliver us out of your hand. But amen, but if he does not, amen, if he don't deliver us and keep us alive in the furnace, amen, he's still going to deliver us out of your hand. And they put them in the furnace of fire, and even the men that put them in the furnace fell dead because of the heat. But amen, they fell down, bound, but they got up. They were loosed and walking all around, and there was somebody else in the fire. They said, you can throw us in the furnace, but we're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. Now, I don't ever want to be thrown into a furnace. I don't want to go. But here's what I do want to do. I want to be able to say with David, I want to be able to say with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I want to be able to say with all those in the Hebrews chapter 11, those heroes of faith, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, or no matter what goes, I'm going to trust God. Amen. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to put my faith and my hope in Him. He says in verse number four, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in the heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. David said, I'm going to trust that. They're talking about you need to flee. And they're talking about everything that's going on, that's going wrong, and the very foundation being moved. But David said, I'm going to tell you something. I want to remind you of something. He said, the Lord is in His holy temple. Amen. He's still on the throne. Amen. He has not been dethroned. He's still King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. He did not. Amen. As I heard one say, you can't impeach Him and He ain't going to resign. Amen. Amen. Because He is King. And amen. He's still on the throne. And David says that the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Amen. High above man and his ways, David's reply to his timid adversaries, he expressed his absolute trust in God. And see, here's what he was saying. Saul may be reigning upon the earth. He may reign upon this earth. But God's on the throne in heaven. And amen, He's above the earth. He's on high. He sits and He reigns. And so he said, what need is there then for me to fear an earthly king? The Bible tells us not to fear man. What can they do? Well, they can kill this body. And that's fearful to us. But he said, don't fear them. But I mean, fear Him who's able not only to kill this body, but destroy, amen, our spiritual man, that second death to kill body and soul. Fear Him. And that's what David says, I'm going to do. I'm going to trust Him because God, He's looking and He sees. God tries men. Amen. He looks and God's scrutinizing everything. Boy, men looks on. They think they're scrutinizing, looking things, you know. You know, we used to take inventory. You know, a lot of places, you know, do it. Some do it on we always had a yearly inventory that was, boy, it was a big deal. But they'd also have monthly inventory. We even had weekly inventories when I worked in Geneva that it wasn't everything, but that you had a list and they just check every week. And every month it got a little bigger, but buddy, every year everything had a sticker on it. I mean, honey, they had stickers on everything, had it wrote down. They went through to see what everything was. And amen, and men do that. You know, we take inventory. We scrutinize situations. We take inventory of certain things. I tell you what we're really good at, and that's taking inventory of other folks. Now, taking inventory of at home is a little harder, you know. I mean, that's something about that we're a little bit more lenient. When we take an inventory at home, we're a little stricter when we do an inventory at somebody else's home. That just seems the way it is as I've watched through my almost 60 years of living, that's just how it works. When it happens over here, it's terrible. But when it happens at home, it ain't quite as bad. But here's the thing. God sees it all. David said his eyelids, he tries. God sees everything. He sees the big things. He sees the little things. Amen. The Bible tells us that, amen, he knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Amen. God gets right down there where what we say, how, you know, where the rubber meets the road. He's right down there where he looks and he sees. And David said, that's who I'm going to trust. That's who I'm going to put my confidence in, because he said in verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous. God tries the righteous. He looks and he looks into our hearts and our lives. There's trials and things that happens and that God allows to happen. But amen, God's not doing it for our destruction. Amen, he's doing it for our good. There's some time, you know, there's some pruning that needs to be done. And I've grown a few things, but I'm not a gardener, but my granddaddy was, and he knew when to prune it. He knew when to trim it back, depending on what it was and what time of the year. Amen. He could take a cutting of this tree and graft it into this tree and do everything it needed to do. And boy, that thing would just grow and flourish. But in all that process, there were some times that there were some things needed to be trimmed away. Why? Because he knew if you trimmed all the excess away, amen, when it got time to bear fruit, it was going to bear much more fruit. And amen, that's what God's doing for us. He searches, he's looking. He says here in verse number 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. God help us. God help the world. God look down, and he is today. He's looking down in mercy, and he calls, amen, for all men everywhere to repent. We had that in Sunday school this morning. But David said, there's a time that's a coming. Judgment's going to come. There was a day when all of them stood around laughing and mocking fun and going about their daily business, that they were making fun of Noah as he built the ark. But amen, there was a day that they closed the door, and amen, it began to rain. Judgment was a coming. And there's another day that's coming, a day of judgment. Amen. Sometimes it comes on men all of a sudden into small groups. Sometimes, amen, but one day there's coming a final judgment when, amen, God's going to judge the world by righteousness, and fire and brimstone is going to be the lot of all those who reject God. But he says in verse 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. God loves righteousness. He is righteous. And because of that, he loves righteousness. He is righteous and he loves righteousness. And he looks down and God sees and knows everything that's going on. He knows what's going on in our world. We pray and we have prayer requests, and God help us. This world we live in is in much need of prayer and much need of God move, but God sees. And even in our world as a whole, God loves righteousness, but what do we see? We see a lot of wickedness. You know, we say sometimes, I hear people say, but you know, I wish every once in a while they'd put a good story on the news, something that wasn't so depressing. And there's no part of our world that has not been touched by sin. What's sin do? Well, it kills. Even the enemy, the Bible said, old Satan came to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so we live in this world, and while we're going through this world, there's going to be many things, and there's going to be times when it seems like the very foundation of what we believe and trust in is the world. Boy, they're trying to move it and shift it out from under our feet so that we fall. And this was the case here with David, but David said this. He said, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, you can tell me what you think I ought to do, what's the reasonable thing to do from the human perspective, but David said this. He said, I'm going to trust Him. No matter what happens, he said, I'm going to trust Him. And this morning I'm thankful that we have a God that no matter what happens, we can trust Him. A lot of things has happened in my life that I don't understand. But nothing's ever happened that I couldn't trust Him. As you stand with us this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you have a need this morning, while we wait just a minute, if you have a need, you come this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that, Father, that we can trust you. We just ask you to touch our hearts, to increase our faith. And Father, that no matter what comes or what goes in this world, that Father, we'll say with David that we're going to put our trust in God. Touch now, I pray, and minister. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.